800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
At least three people known dead from a 6.1 magnitude earthquake that struck near Osaka in western Japan hours ago. Japanese media says there are at least 250 other people injured, and they believe that death toll will rise. So far, though, no major damage of buildings has been reported. A huge debate continuing about a Trump administration policy in which children of illegal immigrants are separated from their families at the U.S.-Mexican border. House Democrat Bill Pascarelli of New Jersey, among several Democrats who visited an immigration detention center where parents are being held. They were there yesterday, which was Father's Day.
When you're hearing the emotion from the fathers on Father's Day, you have to sit back and you have to listen and you have to reach out and try to be of some comfort to the individual.
USA Radio News.
Ugh, you guys, I am so ready for the beach.
I'm not.
What? The trip is coming up soon.
Yeah, my beach body is nowhere close to where I want it to be.
Same here. I've got to lose some weight before we go.
Plus, I know you're going to want to post pictures from the trip all over Facebook.
Well, why don't you guys try Calitrin?
Calitrin? That sounds really familiar.
It's super easy to take, and it's even healthy for you. You just take it at bedtime, and it does all the work for you.
You're joking.
No, I'm not joking, and you're going to feel good taking it.
So I got the Calitrin, and I got into pants that I had not been into in a year and a half. It also took my hot flashes away.
Hey, this is Jack, and I've been using Calitrin. I used to go to the chiropractor at least once a week. The Calitrin has definitely helped me, and I definitely recommend it to anybody.
This is Lynn. I've been on Calitrin, and I love it, and I've lost 45 pounds.
So where can I get Calitrin?
You can go to their website at toploss.com, or you can call them at 833-TOP-LOSS.
Three suspects are tied to a New Jersey arts festival shooting, according to authorities in Mercer County. They say the suspects shot at each other because of a neighborhood beef during the event, but in the process, they injured 22 people. One of the three suspects ended up dead. Two others are hospitalized. At least five people died in a high-speed Border Patrol chase in South Texas. An SUV fleeing Border Patrol agents. Here's more from USA Radio's John Clemens.
U.S. Border Patrol agents and sheriff deputies were trying to stop the Chevy Suburban, but the vehicle sped away, traveling at 100 miles an hour when the driver lost control and the vehicle rolled over several times. I spoke to reporter Jaffney Gray of San Antonio's KSAT TV 12.
Several people were ejected, 14 people total inside of the vehicle, including a driver and a passenger who were both U.S. citizens, and the rest were undocumented immigrants.
USA Radio News.
The following update is for drivers who pay too much for car insurance due to DUIs, DWIs, tickets, or anything else. Our company specializes in low-cost SR22 auto insurance. We know that mistakes happen and offer free quotes for very affordable auto insurance meant specifically for you, the overpaying high-risk driver. The quote is free and we'll handle the filing so you can start saving money. Call 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725. 800-758-0725.
Gaming disorder or video game addiction is being added to the new edition of the International Classification of Diseases out from the World Health Organization today. It says it's marked by having gaming take precedence over most everything else in one's life, leading to social and personal dysfunction. Not every psychologist is on board with the new classification, but the WHO says it hopes it will at least spark further discussion and further research. It's been quite a season for foodborne illnesses already, and now the U.S. Food and Drug Administration says it's investigating 78 cases associated with recalled Del Monte vegetable trays. USA's Wendy King telling us what to watch out for.
The FDA said on Saturday trays which contain broccoli, cauliflower, carrots, and dill dip were sold in Illinois, Iowa, Indiana, Minnesota, and Wisconsin at Quick Trip or Quick Star locations. Cases of Cyclospora illnesses were linked to the trays. On June 8th, Del Monte withdrew 6-ounce and 12-ounce trays from retail market locations in Illinois and Indiana. The expiration date was June 17th or earlier. The Centers for Disease Control and Prevention has not posted any information about the outbreak of cyclospora illnesses. They say if you have the Del Monte products, throw them away.
And for USA Radio News, I'm Chris Barnes.
Hey, Pat.
Did you know between the two of us, we know how to screw in a light bulb?
Come on, Steve. We can do better than that. Well, at least I can. Tell you what, you sit there and look pretty, and I'll fix it.
Listen to you, big guy. Better yet, let's get everyone to listen to Home Sweet Home with me, Steve Bailey, Inspector with Brass Tack Home Inspections.
And I'm Pat Gregory, Handyman Extraordinaire with Taskman Home Improvements, every Friday at 11 a.m. Or you can go to our archives and get access to over 50 podcasts. We cover the basement to the attic and everything in between.
You can even call us at 908-237-0410 during our radio program about our home improvement projects. Remember, Home Sweet Home, every Friday at 11 on Hunterton Chamber Radio.
From the basement to the attic, you're listening to Steve and Patrick. Home sweet home.
All right, local weather forecast, looking at the week here around Flemington and the immediate area. It's 88 out there right now. It's supposed to be in the mid-90s today. Heat advisory out there, so be careful. Heat values could be 100 degrees, the heat index. Tonight, chance of showers and thunderstorms early in the morning, 2 a.m. to 5 a.m. Could get some heavy rain. Lows will be in the 70s. Slight chance of showers and thunderstorms on Tuesday morning. And should be clearing up and high in the mid-80s. Tuesday night, partly cloudy, low in the 60s. Wednesday, sunny, but a chance of showers maybe coming in late Wednesday night. Maybe going into Thursday, a chance of showers in the morning, clearing up, and then the highs again in the 80s. Clear on the overnight Thursday, sunny on Friday, but again on the weekend, maybe something coming through. Slight chance of some rain or possibly thunderstorms on Saturday or Sunday. Stay tuned for Chef Phil's Table.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterton Chamber Radio, WHCR, DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterton-chamber.org.
Good morning, everybody, or anytime you're listening. It's always good, right? Chef Bill's Table here at WHCRDB, Hunterton County Chamber Radio. Talking about usually food, sometimes other things, beverages, could be recipes, could be techniques. Today I'd like to do more about technique. Let's see what's on the horizon now. 4th of July, a couple of weeks away. Just had Father's Day. Hope everybody had a relaxing weekend. It was kind of ideal weather for getting outside, right? And firing up the grill or having a picnic even. And I was torn yesterday. It was almost sudden a real desire for some barbecue or some good fried chicken. Fried chicken at quintessential picnic food at room temperature, not piping hot, just done and let sit out for an hour or so and then have at it. Chilled is not quite as nice, but letting it sit for a while, room temperature, you can, all the juices settle. It's really, food does to me anyway, taste, I'm not saying, well, it depends on the temperature of the room, I guess. Room temperature in America is, it's usually around 68 degrees, but, and that, I don't like to burn my tongue. So piping hot food doesn't do it for me. If I burn my tongue, then everything's, after that is kind of ruined. And I've always enjoyed. I think probably from cooking for years, we always eat. I think moms and chefs always eat last. And by then, you know, the food might be cooled off a little bit. But I think, and many people, you know, there's agreement on this, but I think you'll find that room temperature, say when you grill, especially vegetables, you grill vegetables, yes, they're good hot off the grill, but they sit for a little while. You dress them. Antipasti, traditionally in Italy, would be that way. Something roasted or cooked or grilled, and then a little quick dressing or marinade or just olive oil and salt and pepper, and then the room temperature, best flavors. So, barbecue and grilling. It's grilling season now. Everybody's out there, I guess, right? When we've got many people have gas grills, and I've seen some quite elaborate setups. Some people have a whole back area dedicated. It's like an outdoor kitchen, refrigeration and a grill, and you know, maybe even a deep fryer. But it could be as simple as a little hibachi. I know when my wife and I were first married, just the two of us, and we had this little $4 or $5 cast iron hibachi, and it was fine. You could put about 10 charcoal briquettes in there. That's all you needed, maybe 12, and light them up, and then be able to grill on the porch. You don't have to worry about a gas tank, with a charcoal fire. I mean, you need a water source by it, and for a couple of reasons, but always if something gets out of control with the gas grill, it's a little bit different. You've got gas to worry about. You've got explosions, and many associations now where you live, they don't really like the tanks hanging around. You know, it's very, it's hard for a charcoal fire to get out of control unless somebody throws paper or something like that and it blows off. But aside from that, the charcoal always works if it's a little inclement weather, too. It does still a little bit better in the wind than a gas grill. And then if you get a slight drizzle of rain, it takes a while to put a charcoal fire out. So when we're grilling, I was thinking of the barbecue, years ago up in Lake Placid, worked with a gentleman, and we did some catering, some barbecues once in a while, and we had the chicken was the big thing. Trader Al, we had portable grilling pits made out of cast iron pipe and reinforcing rod, and these metal sheets hang over. We had about 14 feet of pit that we could use, up to that amount, and that would you could cook for a couple of hundred people on something like that. And you know, you'd set up in an area, you check the wind to make sure that you had end caps on the pit, so if you needed to open one end up and let a little wind through, you could. But you set up in the direction of a wind, parallel to the wind. And we did, again, mainly chicken. We had done beef sometimes, some nice top rounds, slow, and we didn't really have a rotisserie or a turner. You're turning these things by hand. But you'll see these things. The closest thing to it is probably a Brazilian barbecue. When you'll see a Churrasco or Rodizio steakhouse where they have the open fire and they have everything on a skewers and they're turning around automatically. That's the ideal thing. And it's, a little hotter than a rotisserie. Rotisserie is that slow, still that turning motion, so you get good basting and even heat. And these you're cooking over, a little bit hotter heat, so you need to turn quicker. And we used to have these big grills that were made, again, out of iron pipe and reinforcing rod and turkey wire, it was called, a little heavier and like a rectangular pattern rather than the chicken wire, which is probably more of an octagonal, if you're familiar with either one. But it was heavier wire reinforced with the reinforcing rod, and you could put 30 half chickens on each grill. And we would start the fire, and then we turn the chicken. You put one grill over top of the other one. When you have to coordinate, you're looking at your partner across the grill there, and you cross your arms and flip them over. Then you go to the next one, and on down. You might see pictures of this on some of the food shows. And sometimes they're automated. But that was constant attention, and you're just turning and turning and turning. And it was, again, you got 30 halves on each one. So, you know, you could do quite a few chickens at once. It would take an hour. We would go even a little bit over. We always checked and made sure they were done. But and that's the important thing with poultry. We're going to come see how you can do something like that at home or something similar with other grillings, barbecues, terminology, whatever you want to call it, and some of the some techniques for a safe and successful outdoor meal. Chef Bill's Table.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HuntertonChamberRadio.com, brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you struggling to find the right person to stay in that critical role in your company? Trying to attract and retain millennials? Retail Personnel is your staffing solution. Located in Lebanon, New Jersey, Regional Personnel is an ASA-certified, privately held staffing and recruiting firm providing you with everything from temporary to permanent employees. As ASA-certified professionals, we employ the latest tools and techniques to find, screen, and present to you the best talent that fits your needs. The result? Access to top talent in the shortest time with the lowest chance of turnover. We guarantee it. So call Regional today at 908-534-8113 or visit us on the web at regionalpersonnel.com.
This is Tony Clark, paraplanner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms, when they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know? The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in. Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Chef Bill's Table here at WHCR DB Internet Radio. It's a wonderful thing. So the fire. So those of you that have gas grills, of course, obviously the if you're starting any meal, make sure that you have a tank of gas. Usually you'd have an extra one somewhere. And I'm sure you all clean your grills after you use them. The best way to do that, you know, after we cook, we turn the heat up and put the lid down and let it rip at high temperature for a little while. It's kind of like a self-cleaning oven. It carbonizes the grease. It's easy then to brush off, and then you coat it with some vegetable oil, let it cool off, of course, before you close it up, and then you're done. And if you've done this, very easy to get started again. If you haven't used the grill in a while, it's still best to get it hot and oil it up. Use a towel or a paper towel dipped in some neutral vegetable oil, like canola oil, and clean, hot, and oiled. and your food has a lot less chance of sticking. A lot of people use grill baskets now. The wood fire or the charcoal fire, still my favorite. Charcoal briquettes are fine. Some people think they, or seem to say, well, you know, they've got a, like a chemical taste. Well, it's part of how they're made. But we can kind of negate that a little bit, too. What we would do with the charcoal, of course, these are in the large pits. Just put the bags, just line up the bags, break them open with a shovel so the bag became your starter, and we would actually use gasoline. Gasoline's a little dangerous. We were, of course, outside or in a field. What you have to do is you put, and don't soak it, you know, spread the gasoline or, you know, your starter fluid if you like. The gas did a pretty good job, and you wait until the fumes have dissipated so you can look kind of, if you would kind of crouch down and look just above the top of the pit, and you always see those wavy lines, the gas fumes coming off. That's the part that's dangerous. So you wait till the fumes have, you don't see the little wavy air anymore. That's the only way I can describe it. And then you throw a match, and the whole thing, you get, you know, a little bit of a whoosh, but everything lights, but you don't have that big cloud of gas fumes burning, like you see when the turkey fryers boil over. And there, all your charcoal's lit, and the paper burns it to get it going. It's all spread out, and then you have to wait. I think that's what people don't really like about the charcoal. You have to really, if you cook on it too soon, you're wasting the best part of the heat. They always tell you, let it get down to the coals, even when you're building a wood fire, same way. You don't cook over the flame. You wait till you see that white ash forming, and you've just got the glowing coals. So now you have your coals, and you're ready to go. Of course, in the meantime, the nice thing about the charcoal thing is you light the fire. We used to have an electric fire starter. There was a little coil that went under the coals. The chimney is still probably the best way. Stack them up in the tin can there with the paper, and it gets all the briquettes going evenly. This is kind of what you want. And then you can spread them around. It's easier just to pour them. And if you want, you know, some a little bit more spread out for some indirect heat, it's fine. And I usually find, you know, the round kettle, the Weber seems to be the standard. But those, either the smoker or the kettle cooker, those things still do very, very well. Because you can do. You can do direct grilling. You can do slow cooking. You can smoke. Put it in the water bath. You can put some wood chips if you want the flavor. Really, really versatile and easy, and not as expensive as a full-blown gas grill. So you see the white coals, and now you put your food on, right? No, you wait. Now again, you've got the coals and you've got this ash on there. So what's going to happen when you put food on there? Fat starts dripping out of the food and or water, and you get the flare up. It hits that and hear this, psh, psh, you hear the hiss, and the ash flies up. And then, I know you like the food brown when it's on the grill or the oven, but you don't want coal ash on your food. That's not the good kind. So what we would do is take the grate off the grill because you don't want that to get dirty. You've cleaned it so well. And you have the best for home use is a spritzer or a water bottle with a spray on it, and start spritzing the coal. And that ash is going to fly. Make sure you're standing upwind, and make sure that your food or anything else is not downwind from the grill. And that's why I say where you put it is kind of important, depending on which way the wind's blowing. You don't want that ash flying on, you know, into your pool or in the laundry hanging on the line or anything like that, if you still do that. But you kind of spritz to get the ash off of there. And you're not going to put the fire out. No worries on that. Once those coals are hot, it would take a downpour to do that. Heck, we used to barbecue in a light snow. It was fine. You know, there's not enough water coming out of that snow to really put a fire out. So you get the ash off of there. Now you put your grill back on, and you can put your product on there, whether you're doing chicken, whether you're doing burgers or steaks, pork, ribs, anything like that. You've calmed the fire down a little bit, too. When you first put the meat on there, you don't want to burn the outside too quickly. I know with rare steaks and all, we like to get that nice sear on there. But if you're doing roasts or doing chicken, you don't want to get it too brown too quickly, especially the skin or the outside. If you get it, if you burn it early and you still got to cook it, that's when people, oh, I got to rush and finish it in the oven. I can't really finish it outside because it's going to get too done. Same with putting sauce on too early. If you're doing a marinade you know, I don't know. Marinades are fine, but you don't want things with a lot of sugar in them because that sugar will caramelize. And what happens when you get that crust on there, it kind of insulates and actually slows down your cooking time. You know, you've got to, it's harder for the cooking to get done. So we like to turn early and often. And I know, again, people like that sear on things, but when you're cooking larger pieces, you turn early and turn often, especially with chicken. So let's say you're doing chicken, and you've got some half chickens, which are, I like the chicken on the bone for outside cooking. It helps hold the shape. It's, you know, a little protection of some of the meat. You've got skin on one side, bones on the other. And, yes, it takes a little bit longer, but, you know, your patience will be rewarded. Now, some people on a gas grill, people using those, I know the beer can chicken's popular where it stands up there and you're kind of using the gas grill like an oven. And that's fine. You know, you could do that with the low heat if you want to protect it. You could even put them in a pan and, again, use the outside grill as an oven. And I realize the advantage to that. In the summertime, you don't want to heat the house up. You know, I guess, you know, you're spending maybe a little more on the LP gas, but you're not having to overwork your air conditioner. So I guess it's a good trade-off. But when we start the chickens, they would be bone side down, skin side up. And that allows the skin, it kind of warms up a little bit, starts rendering some of the fat out so you don't get too much of a flare-up. Then you'll turn it and you'll mark the chicken. Again, try not to brown it too quickly. And moderate heat. You don't want really, really high heat. The barbecues, again, the terminology, people say, barbecue is low and slow. But there's indirect grilling, there's smoking, there's direct grilling. The chicken, it's direct grilling pretty much, but it's not high heat like you would do a steak. You want, again, a little bit of patience here. If you have the chicken cut into parts, it'll cook probably a little bit quicker if you have just bone-in breasts. If you want just white meat, still do the bone-in. I know you're going to mess with the rib bones afterwards, but it will cook up a lot better, holds its shape. You won't have the shrinkage. And then, chicken breasts are still a little difficult because they're an uneven thickness. If you're doing some boneless, then, of course, we flatten them like a cutlet or a paillard so we get more even cooking. But that's very quick, high heat. And that's grilled chicken. And that's, again, that's fine, too. But if you want a nice roast or what we call barbecued chicken, this is the way to go. Again, turn it early and often. If you think it's getting a little bit too quick cooking, you just take it off the fire. You know, in charcoal, you don't have a thermostat. You don't have the controls. So you have to, usually we'd have a table off to the side. And if it looked like that charcoal was coming back with a vengeance, then we would remove the product and we would just stack them up. You know, we had a table with a plastic cloth on it. And then sometimes we'd have to calm the fire down again. You know, you've got, plenty of charcoal left, a little spritz of the water again. And then this time not so much to get ash off of there, but to just cool off your fire. That's your thermostat. So it needs constant attention. It's not, again, if you've got a smoker thing going when you're going to do 3 or 4 hours, you might have to check it every hour, make sure that your fuel is still good. Do you need to replenish charcoal? Do you need to move the, turn the meat or anything like that? But chickens are, an hour of pretty good attention, and which is fine. You can also throw your vegetables. I know what we used to do with the corn on the cob was always on our barbecues. We would get a clean galvanized garbage can, and again, wash it out well, but shuck corn in there and fill it with water, and we would use a plumber's torch. But now people have these turkey fryers, basically it's a gas tank that shoots a flame out the top. So we would dig a small hole, put the tank in there, and then build up with a cinder block and set the garbage can on there. And you've got this torch going full blast. It's not going to burn through the metal because there's water on the other side of it. But it really would bring a can of corn to boil in pretty quick time. Good conductivity with the metal, and you've got your boiled corn. Potatoes we would bake right on coals, and you could also, as you're grilling your chicken, you wrap them with foil if you want. They're kind of steaming in there, but if you've got some space on the grill, you've got the heat going, just, or we used to stick them right in a bed of coals. Not under the chicken, of course, but we would do a separate line of just charcoal, same way, and just have the foil-wrapped potatoes, put them right on, directly on the coals, once, again, once they've calmed down a little bit. And you'll get, you know, a little, I mean, you put the seam side down when you're wrapping it, you get a little bit of char on the bottom. That's kind of a good flavor, but it really will give you a baked potato in very little time. When we come back, we'll look at some cuts of pork and ideas how we can cook that. Because, of course, everybody loves ribs, right? Wouldn't be a summer without some ribs. Chef Bill's Table.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
At least three people known dead from a 6.1 magnitude earthquake that struck near Osaka in western Japan hours ago. Japanese media says there are at least 250 other people injured, and they believe that death toll will rise. So far, though, no major damage of buildings has been reported. A huge debate continuing about a Trump administration policy in which children of illegal immigrants are separated from their families at the U.S.-Mexican border. House Democrat Bill Pascarelli of New Jersey, among several Democrats who visited an immigration detention center where parents are being held. They were there yesterday, which was Father's Day.
When you're hearing the emotion from the fathers on Father's Day, you have to sit back and you have to listen and you have to reach out and try to be of some comfort to the individual.
USA Radio News.
I love my family, but last week, not so much. They blew through our shared data again. Then we switched to Boost and got unlimited gigs, plus 20 gigs of mobile hotspot on each line for the whole family for a great price. So now I love them all again. We just needed a switch.
Switch to Boost and get three lines with unlimited gigs for just $100 a month and 20 gigs of mobile hotspot on each line. Plus, get up to three free phones, all on a super reliable, super fast nationwide network. Boost makes it easy to switch. Switching makes it easy to save.
Offer ends 8/31/18. First line is $100 a month. Lines 2 and 3 are $0 a month. Requires one line to port in. Line includes unlimited talk, text, and data. Video streams optimized at up to 480p plus. Music at up to 500 kilobits per second. Gaming at up to 2 megabits per second. Data deprioritization during congestion. Free phones require port in and activation on plans $50 or higher. Coverage and offers not available everywhere. Restrictions apply. See dealer for details.
Back of the table here. So chicken, so you know, we've got a fire. If you like a smoke flavor, the charcoal briquettes aren't going to give you like a hardwood briquette would. If you need some smoke flavor, a few chips, soak them in some water, and you can scatter them over the hot coals. It'll release a little bit of smoke. I know if, let's say, you're doing a gas grill, and there's, you can get some kind of, or you could probably use a pie tin or something. You can get some devices for the gas grill to actually do that. So the chips kind of smoke over the flame in a some kind of container. But another way, liquid smoke, and I don't know, sometimes people are afraid of it. They don't know what it is, but it's just a distillate of smoke. So just think of the smoke that's coming off a wood fire, and you capture that vapor, because there is some water vapor in there, and then it's put through a condenser, which is a cooling coil that turns it back into a liquid, and that's what's captured. Just like when you make whiskey, you know, you're cooking off, the alcohol comes off first from the vapor before the water does, you're trapping that alcohol vapor and then condensing it, cooling it, so it becomes the pure alcohol. Same idea. So liquid smoke, there's no salt, and it's a byproduct, even the some of the controlled atmosphere packaging that we have out there, different gases that are put in there for different reasons. But liquid smoke, I don't know. And I do, say, a rack of ribs, and I don't have a smoker. I brush the ribs with liquid smoke. You don't need a lot. Just got a little brush on there. And if you can let them sit overnight, all the better. That's not going to be, you know, quite the same. Some people, I think there's been tastings done where it's very hard to, if it's done correctly, it's hard to tell the difference. But it's hickory. If you don't like, you know, everything now is, of course, applewood and some of these other woods. But to me, hickory is, that's your ham. That's your ham, your bacon. That's the one. Then I'll put my rub on. And if you, again, let it sit overnight, it's even better. And kind of the rub, the salt and the sugar in there kind of do a cure, a dry cure, just like if you were making pork belly or bacon. I've done it with chicken very successfully, with chicken thighs, actually. I like the boneless, skinless thighs for, if you're, I don't know, for grilling, for barbecue, for soups, anything. That just the meat doesn't dry out as much as the white meat. But I've done this, and you could do skin on or skinless. I'll do it with your chickens and just brush it with a little liquid smoke and put your rub on there and let them sit overnight. And then the next day, now, and I've done these even in a conventional oven. Let's say, oh, you can't get the grill or it's raining, you don't want to go outside. You could simulate the outdoors inside with this little hack, if you will. I don't know. I do it, and I've done it with chicken and even chicken breasts. And if you let them sit overnight, that smoke will permeate, and then with the slow cooking, it really, I mean, you can't really call it smoked chicken, but it does have a good smoky flavor. And I remember with your sauces, too, if you've had your product of any kind in a marinade, and you're going to baste with some of that marinade, you do one of two things. Either when you make the marinade recipe, set some of it aside and don't put the protein in it, because then you have raw protein in the marinade, and you're going to be basting cooked food with something that had raw food in it. It's not such what you call cross-contamination. The other option is once you take the food out of the marinade, put it in a little pot and bring it to a boil, and that will make sure it's safe. And oftentimes you'll see the barbecue champions there. They'll do a mop sauce, which is usually a vinegar, and it could be water. It's something to keep moisture. You don't really need more oil. It could be a flavored vinegar and even mixed with water so it's not too strong. Vinegar won't hurt it because you're going to have a little vinegar in your barbecue sauce anyway and probably some sugar. So the thing is not to get too much sugar on the product too early. Because, again, once that caramelizes or gets black or brown, it's just it's an insulator and it's not too tasty. It gets very bitter. We would always sauce the birds on the last turn, so they're already cooked. You're checking them with your thermometer, or in the case of a half chicken, we would pull the leg apart and make sure that down by that bone that the, you know, everything, juices are running clear. And those are good indicators too. I mean, the timing is the worst way, because you don't know. You know, it's too variable, the size of the bird, how much moisture is in it, you know, the temperature it was when it went on the grill. But looseness of the joints, clear running juices, yes, check it with your thermometer, but if you're, when we were doing the outdoor thing, you know, we would check like every third or fourth one just to make sure. And, you know, just where they were on the grate, were they toward the outside, were they more on the inside, did some get cooked faster than others. It's just, you know, it's a lot of variables. So your sauce goes on the last turn, and depending on your likes, it could have, you know, varying amounts of sugar and other things in there. I know my sauce, what I do, I don't cook my sauce, and mine's more like a dressing. It's kind of unique. It was developed by Trader L for chicken. It's not a smoky sauce, although you can add liquid smoke to it. I'm not going to give you the whole recipe. Nobody ever does that, right? Sunday gravy and barbecue sauce. Nobody gives those up. But I do use, ketchup base, which a lot of them are. But I also use some chili sauce, and I think I've talked about that with other things, that little chunkier, a little different flavor. But I also have oil. Barbecue sauces traditionally have don't really have oil in them unless you're a little bit of oil to saute your vegetables in if you're making one. But pretty much barbecue sauces are almost fat-free, which is good because they're going on fatty meats, right? This one has, it's an oil, it's got vinegar, it's got lemon juice, some wine, and then a bunch of seasonings in there. No added sugar to mine. It's already got, between the ketchup and the chili sauce, I believe there's enough sugar in there. So it's not one of these sweet, it looks more like a salsa after a while. But that based on with the oil, it kind of, moistens up, keeps that chicken from drying out, again, on the last turn. And once you cook this sauce, it tastes different than if you use it without cooking it. Without cooking it, you could probably use it as a tomato salad dressing, like Peter Luger's steak sauce, for example. It's about that texture, Or you could use it as a dip, but your cooked sauce is going to taste different than just a plain sauce. That's the beauty of it. But whatever your sauce is, and the nice thing with barbecue, you can customize to your tastes with your sauces or marinades, especially sauces. If you're doing a soy-based one, you could do something a little bit more citrus. Could do an herb, an olive oil, a white sauce, the egg. It's kind of like a, I don't want to say a ranch dressing, the Cornell chicken. Look it up. It's start with some egg yolks. You're making basically kind of like a thin mayonnaise type. There's vinegar and sugar and stuff, it's a white sauce. It doesn't make the chicken pure white, kind of like the Alabama sauce where you dip it afterwards, it kind of runs off. It's, just an interesting glaze, something very different. And if you want to get away from the red base sauce, that's the way to go. And most people will take a pre-made sauce and alter it. You find the flavor profile and the sugar. There's different styles. The Kansas City and the Carolina style and Memphis style. And some of them you'll see. There's a lot of corn syrup and things like that in there. So the advantage to making your own is you can control that. You may use molasses. In ours we do a bourbon sauce for ribs, and we put some maple syrup in it. I like maple syrup. It's got that, I think that adds, if you're not cooking over wood, maybe that maple syrup puts a little different flavor. You've got sorghum. All kinds of syrups you can use rather than high fructose corn syrup. And, of course, with the half chickens, they're nice. Give yourself plenty of time when you're planning something. We always like that little resting time. After the final base, let the chicken rest for a while. You can pile it on a platter. It doesn't have to be separated. You want to keep it warm. But that's when, if you still have some fire going and you want to do some other quick things, if you're doing, that's the time. Say if you want to do grilled corn instead of boiled corn, that would be the time to put your vegetables on. So, but either way, with the boiled corn, or if you're cooking in the house, we like, of course, syrup because you like salt potatoes. Those are always on the boil. Little new potatoes cooked in the salt brine, a little melted butter. That's our favorite. Now with pork, we've got to look at ribs and the different types, which we will do as soon as we get. We've got a break for a couple of messages here. I'm going to get these playing, and then we'll look at some ribs. It's the difference with the ribs. Again, this is everybody has their favorite recipes, but this is more about selection, purchasing. I think if you buy the right thing for your purpose, then you have better success. Because I think everybody has good recipes, I'm sure. There are favorite sauces that you use, but technique and purchasing are pretty important. We'll be back in a couple of minutes at the table and look at some pork ribs.
One of the biggest decisions in your lifetime is buying or selling a house. Choosing a realtor with strong client communication, technology, and marketing skills will dramatically improve your chance of success. That's why Hunterdon and Somerset's residents rely on Joe Peters. Joe believes his clients deserve a smooth and seamless experience, not a roller coaster ride. As a Coldwell Banker sales associate with 20 years of experience, he's helped hundreds of people to achieve their goals and dreams, no matter where they were in the buying or selling process. Joe accomplishes this by approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, he tries to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them his own. Then he takes the mass amount of data that's available and distills it down to a few understandable action points. And finally, he controls the entire process through technology and marketing. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let Joe show you how to take his professional expertise and put it to work for you. To contact Joe, go to jpeters.com or call 908-238-0118.
You're listening to WHCR-DB, HunterdonChamberRadio.com. Brought to you by the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Are you looking to get your message in front of a qualified audience through all the noise out there today? Consider taking an advertisement out on Hunterdon Chamber Radio, WHCR-DB, the voice of business. Contact the Chamber today at 908-782-7115 or give us an email at info@hunterdon-chamber.org.
Everybody over there!
Get on up!
Everybody out there!
Get into it!
Everybody right there!
Get involved!
Everybody, you...
Did you know the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce has over 20 active committees that you can participate in? Committees range from focus on business and government to economic development to events like our annual business expo. Contact the Chamber for more information today at 908-782-7115 or email us at info@hunterdon-chamber.org. The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce, the voice of business.
Okay, we're back at the table here, back at Chef Bill's table here at HunterdonChamberRadio.com. So pork, I always spend a lot of chicken. To me, it's, I don't know, I just had this craving yesterday, so I thought I'd relive my old barbecued chicken moments. Anyway, yeah, it's still a great meal. Ribs, pork ribs, spare ribs, St. Louis ribs, back ribs, top loin ribs, country ribs, many choices out there. Back ribs, some people say baby back ribs. Usually the baby back would imply more the size, 3/4 of a pound to a pound, smaller animal. So same, they're from the loin. So if you think of the bone that's on a pork chop, that's the bones that are used for baby backs. So that's, again, you know, a lot of times boneless pork loins are very reasonably priced, whereas the ribs, you know, there's more money on the ribs. The ribs will cost you probably, could cost you double. Opposite with beef. Beef, all the money's on the meat, and beef back ribs are not that expensive. And there's not much meat at the meat. They kind of shave them pretty close there because, of course, more money's on the prime rib or the ribeye. So your spare rib would be kind of an uneven cut. It's the lower part of the ribs. The bones are a little flatter. The meat's not as tender, so you need to cook them a little bit longer, but most people prefer that. Now your St. Louis ribs are the spare ribs that are squared off because there is kind of a, there's the rib tips there down to the bottom and, you know, down into toward the belly. They get a little bit chewier. I mean, that sometimes you can buy those. If you braise those off, they're plenty good. But usually the St. Louis rib is good because it's even. The bones, you've got a consistent cut there. So if you're trying to portion them, I know for restaurants it makes a little more sense. The back ribs sometimes, you have some longer, some smaller ones, and somebody wants a half rack, you know, where do you make? Usually about 14 ribs. Could be as little as 13, could be an extra, but usually 14 ribs. And the back ribs, because they're off the loin there, more tender, they don't need as much cooking. Those, you could almost grill those sometimes if you think, same with beef back ribs. They're from near the prime ribs, so they don't need to be slow cooked. They're fine to slow cook, and they're fine to cook a long time, but they will cook a little bit faster. There is, you know, they're a little more meat to bone ratio, and that's why the back ribs are usually more money. And say a little bit less cooking time. The country ribs are barely ribs at all. They're from the way up in the toward the shoulder. There's two or three bones that get cut out, and they're too. They don't have a big enough eye to use for pork chop. If you buy a whole pork loin, you'll see at the one end there's a blade bone that comes off, and then there's, you know, still some of that pork rib chop, but it's not the big round eye. Well, that's where your country ribs are. So you've got a little bit of bone, not too much, and you've got quite a bit of meat. And those, I mean, if you're into value, it's a retail cut. It's hard for me. I can't even get those commercially. When I used to deal with a butcher years ago, he had them because he sold to retail markets. So we would, when we first opened Jake's, we did country ribs. So they look like a pork chop. They say they're bone-in, boneless. I like them with the bones. Then you can still kind of pick them up. But you braise those or slow cook them, smoke them, grill them, whatever you want to do. It's, you know, again, more from the shoulder, but very good. As I say, we did them in the beginning. It was, you know, just a way to be different. I said, all right, that's an underutilized cut, then I'm going to do it. Now that now everybody's kind of going that route. Again, rubbing the ribs. If you don't want to sit and watch them outside, or say you're doing them for a crowd too, say you need a lot of them, I mean, you can always start them in the oven. The thing is, don't boil them. Some recipes call for boiling the ribs, and that's you don't need to do that. It's if you have ribs that slide where the meat just slides off the bone, the chances are they've been steamed or boiled, because that's when that happens. When you're cooking with the dry heat, the meat can come off easily, but it should not slide off in one piece. So just be aware of that. But if you're trying to, so say, you know, you can make ribs ahead, too. You get your St. Louis or your back ribs, and we put a rub on them. Make sure on the St. Louis, the membrane on the back should be underneath on the bone side should be removed. If it's not, this allows your seasoning and your sauce to get into the meat better. But you'll put your rub. They can be done in a slow oven. Some recipes call for covering them with foil, which kind of then you're kind of steaming them. What I would do is we use a slow cooker at the restaurant. It's a high humidity environment. So if you did cover them, I would cover them loosely. I wouldn't do tightly. Or if they're in a pan, you know, put, you know, like half a cup of water, just something to, or a pan of water, just like in the oven, just to create a little bit of steam to keep the moisture there. But you can cook them, you know, it's usually 3 hours, 2.5 hours, depending on the size of them. And then you could let them cool off and wrap them. And then when you're ready for your event, you're just going to flash them on the grill. All you've got now is rub on them. You don't put sauce on them yet, just like the chicken. You don't sauce till the end. And when you're then grilling them to bring them back, you're kind of reheating them. And then when you glaze them with your sauce. If you wanted, again, the smoke flavor, I've had success with brushing them with liquid smoke, and this would work for your back ribs or your St. Louis ribs. Country ribs, same way, but you really, those, because when I had a small restaurant years ago, I used to have a one-pound pork chop and with my barbecue sauce, and I would buy the rib ends for barbecue and literally cut them into one-pound pieces, and I would slow cook them, and then bring them back. I would put them under the broiler with the sauce on them. So you're kind of, you know, reheating them, but because you're slow cooking them there, and with all the marbling in there, it's they're very tender. They don't dry out. They say a very good cut to use. If you're not into so much of the bones, you want more of the meat, try out the country ribs. But ribs, if you have a gas grill, ribs, you just, again, use the grill like an oven. Lower heat. You can turn one of the burners off if you want indirect heat, but just close the lid and keep your eye on the thermostat. If you're doing if you have one of the kettle Webers, not too much charcoal. And again, you can stick a thermometer in there. Some of them have a thermometer. If you're doing the slow cook, you know, you want it between 225 and 250 degrees. If you're doing a regular moderate heat, would be 325 to 350 if you have thermostats to watch there. And of course, I know we're coming to the end of the hour here, but this time of year, strawberries, don't forget them. You want something, you know, your great dessert, strawberry shortcake, and I'm a biscuit lover with those. And it doesn't have to be a real, real sweet biscuit. We used to make them. We would add a little bit of sugar to the biscuit. But your basic one, you know, 2 cups of flour, 1 teaspoon of salt, 1 tablespoon of baking powder, 1 tablespoon of sugar. We would use butter in ours, 5 tablespoons of unsalted butter, and 1 cup of cream. And actually what we would do is add an egg yolk or an egg to the cream, made it even richer. So you've got your dry ingredients. You cut in your butter. And so, I mean, you can use shortening if you want, but really with strawberries, you want that buttery biscuit. You can pat these. The thing is, you know, you've got your dry ingredients, cut in the butter, and then add your cream. Don't handle it too much. You pat them into 1-inch thick rounds, or you could drop them. We used to drop them into big mounds. This will make 4 biscuits. Just don't handle them too much. You don't want them tough. 350 for 35 minutes, and you've got biscuits. You want to brush them with butter afterwards, all the better. This will be enough for, you know, 4 people, a couple of pints of berries. Season them with about 1/4 cup of fine sugar, super fine, depending on the sweetness of the berries, which is what does that too. It also draws some juice out there. You've got to have a little strawberry juice, right, to soak into the biscuit. And then you take another cup of heavy cream and whip that. Again, if you want to add some sugar, fine, but there's probably enough sugar in what you've already done. And of course, if you like the sponge cakes, that's fine too. No problem there. Some people like pound cakes. Some people, you may just want a custard. You might want a sauvignon. You want another, you have some nice stem berries. Just dip them in bourbon and then in 10X, the confectioner's sugar. Just have a little snack that way. So, fire up your grill. Have some chicken or some ribs or a combo. Have both. And some strawberries. Next week, 4th of July coming up at the table. Chef Bill signing off. Have a great week.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
A huge argument continues today about why illegal adult immigrants who cross the border from Mexico with children are being separated from the kids. Homeland Security Chief Kirsten Nielsen telling a group of sheriffs from across the country in New Orleans this morning.
There has been much outcry, consternation, and frankly misinformation for many in the press, in Congress, and advocacy groups over the last few weeks
that we at DHS are intentionally doing things that are unhumanitarian, that are cruel, immoral, and disgraceful. We aren't doing none of those things. We are enforcing the laws passed by Congress.
Democrats say it's a Trump administration policy and there is no law on the books about separating children from their parents at the border. And this is USA Radio News.
Ugh, you guys, I am so ready for the beach.
I'm not.
What? The trip is coming up soon.
Yeah, my beach body is nowhere close to where I want it to be.
Same here. I've got to lose some weight before we go.
Plus, I know you're going to want to post pictures from the trip all over Facebook.
Well, why don't you guys try Calitrin?
Calitrin? That sounds really familiar.
It's super easy to take, and it's even healthy for you. You just take it at bedtime, and it does all the work for you.
You're joking.
No, I'm not joking, and you're going to feel good taking it.
So I got the Calitrin, and I got into pants that I had not been into in a year and a half. It also